So this is the second of this series of talks on God and science, and I said this one would be about the new physics, which will be mainly about quantum physics, but one or two other things as well. I have to admit at the start that it's the scientific area of the three talks in which I feel most out of my depth, but still, if I manage to find a way of understanding it for my own benefit as a complete outsider to this obscure area of physics, then maybe you'll be able to understand it as well, really. So it may actually prove to be a help that I don't really know what I'm talking about. I'm struggling to understand it, as you may be. But I think there are a lot of exciting things here, so I'm pleased to be having a go at talking about it. Let me start at a very basic level of what the world is composed of. And I think for a long time there's been an apparent conflict here between science and religion. And in the religious world, we've been saying that this world we see with our five senses and is a world that comes from God, and God is spirit. So there's a sense in which we've been saying that despite appearances, the fundamental reality of the world is spiritual, and it's out of the spiritual that this time-space world comes. And common sense, and for a long time science, has been saying, though, the world is basically composed of matter. It's composed of hard physical stuff, and other things like mind and spirit emerge from that. And I think science is really on the retreat on this issue and has been, well, it's not quite joining the religious world, but it's certainly on retreat from the idea that the world is composed of hard matter. And I mentioned last time Peter Atkins' rather cheeky phrase that the world is elegantly reorganized nothing. He's slightly overstating the point. I think it would be better, really, to say that the world is elegantly reorganized energy. The matter of the world is elegantly reorganized energy. And I think there's now a reasonable consensus in physics, really since Einstein, about Einstein's time, that that's what the world is, basically energy. So there's definitely been a retreat in physics from the idea that the world is composed of hard matter. It looks to be, it feels as though it is, but people are increasingly now convinced that there's something underneath that that is actually not hard at all and is composed of forces and fields and other things, not little hard building blocks of stuff. And that may not be the end of the retreat in physics, and there are some people who've floated the idea very speculatively that the basic stuff of the universe may be not just energy, but information. And I don't think we yet quite know what that sort of possible physics of information of the future may be like, and it's so speculative that we don't know that that will ever be properly cashed out, but it may be. And if my successors are giving a talk like this in St. Edward's in 50 years' time, I think then they may well be saying that the world is basically composed of information, not matter at all, not even energy, but of information. And we'll need to get a better handhold on what we mean by information. But it's getting closer to what we religious people have been saying all along about the world being composed of spirit. And to be honest, I think religious people haven't always quite known what they were wanting to say when they've said the world is basically spirit, comes from spirit. But I think it's been a sort of a rough intuitive approximation of something that science is now seems to be moving towards and fleshing out in a more precise way. So I think this is a point where science seems to be joining the religious camp, or at least moving in that direction. I don't want to be too triumphalist about this, But there's so much talk about things moving in the other direction, and science being in the ascendancy and religion in the retreat. I think it's worth pointing out that there are some things that are moving in the other direction. And I mentioned another one last time, that I think religious people have been saying for a long time that behind this world of space and time, there's another deeper reality which is not constrained by space and time, a reality that we call God. And increasingly, cosmologists have been coming around to recognizing in a similar way that behind this space-time world, there's another reality that is not spatio-temporal. They have a completely different way of conceptualizing that, but at least there's some growing convergence there as well. People have sometimes quipped that the cosmologists have been scaling the peaks, and when they get there, find that the theologians have been sitting there all along. It's a slight exaggeration, but there is something in it. And I think both physics and cosmology, in a way that would have been very surprising 100, 150 years ago, have been moving in the kind of direction that religious people have been talking about in vague general terms for a long time. And I find that quite encouraging. Physicists sometimes talk about this world that we experience with our senses, a world we see and hear and move about in, as the macro world. But underneath this macro world, there is another strange world known as the quantum world. And there's been a lot of interest for 80 odd years now in this quantum world that behaves in a very strange way. And a number of people have tried to make connections between theology and the quantum world. There have been books published with titles like Quantum Theology. I think, to be honest, there's a great danger of sloppy thinking here and simple mistakes about the physics, and I'm going to do my best to keep things reasonably straight. There's been a lot of what's sometimes called quantum hype, a kind of feeling that because of quantum physics, anything goes. And I don't want to go all the way with that. But I do think there are some very interesting and exciting things coming out of quantum physics. There's a phrase John Polkinghorne has that I think puts it quite well, and Polkinghorne was a particle physicist before he moved into his present science and religion work. He says that quantum physics releases us from the tyranny of common sense. I think that's a nice phrase. Releases from the tyranny of common sense. I think there's a widespread feeling that what we can possibly think about the world is very constrained by common sense. That common sense has got to be right, and that we should stay within that. And if religion's departing from common sense, then it's obviously being stupid. But I think quantum physics has released us from that, because it's shown us that the world deep down, the world that physicists study, is deep down, it does not accord with common sense. It is a strange, very weird world that does not behave in the way that common sense would tell us it does. It's a world we don't understand all that well yet, and quite a lot of what people say about the quantum world is a bit speculative. One of the first and perhaps most important things that's been said about it is that this world is indeterminate. Things just happen randomly. It's widely assumed that in this macro world that we live in and move around in, there is determinism. Everything is caused, and we can kind of unpack what the various things that cause what happens in our physical world. Do come and join us. But the quantum world is not determinate like that. things happen that it seems for which there is no cause at all and which you can't trace back to anything. And the sort of classic experiment that's been used to demonstrate this is when you're firing off electrons and you're firing them at a screen, and this screen has got two slits in it. And in our world, the electron you fire, if it got through the screen at all, would be going through one slit or the other. But the weird thing about the quantum world, the first weird thing here, is that the electrons seem to be going through both slits at the same time. And how can a single electron be going through two different slits at the same time? It seems to defy common sense. So this is a first point where it's clear the quantum world is not following the laws of common sense. And because these electrons are going through both slits at the same time, if you fire a lot of them, you get a sort of wave function that appears on the screen that they hit at the far side. Now the next weird thing is that you can try to measure which slit the electron is going through, sort of catch it at its game, see where it is. And if you try and measure which slit the electron is going through, then it stops going through both slits at once, which it has been doing. It stops doing that, and it goes through just one slit, and you can spot what that is. And then the wave function that you have been seeing on the far side, that collapses. So this act of measurement leads to what physicists call a collapse of this wave function. It leads to a breakdown of this weird pattern of the electron going through both slits at the same time. Once you start measuring, it goes through just one slit. And there's a final weird thing here, which is that which slit it goes through seems to be completely random. There doesn't seem to be anything determining that at all. And this is one of the, probably the only point in physics, I think, where physicists are conceding that things are happening for which there is no cause whatsoever, which blows the kind of basic assumption on which physics has been based, that you, whatever's happening, you look for the causes of it and you assume that that you can explain whatever happens in terms of a set of causes. So you've got three weird things here. The electron's going through two slits at the same time. Then if you measure it, that leads to a change in what's happening. Then it just goes through one slit. And the third weird thing, which slit it goes through seems to be random, indeterminate. So this is a very odd world. It's not the world of common sense. It's a world that is not behaving like our macro world. Some people have got quite excited for religious reasons about the indeterminacy. And I want to now explain why. I don't actually go along with this excitement. I think it's rather misplaced, but it's worth just sort of explaining what it is and saying something about it. One of the puzzles for religious people has been, in relation to science, has been how can God act in the world? The world that we live in is assumed by physicists to follow the laws of nature, to be fully determined. That seems to leave no space for God to get into the world to do anything, to answer prayer, to heal people, to raise Jesus from the dead, anything like that. There seems to be just no space for this to happen. Well, that's largely because the world that we live in, the macro world, is assumed to be determinate. But then physics seems to have discovered this weird world underneath ours where things are happening that are indeterminate. And maybe people have thought that leaves room for God to act in a way that doesn't overturn the laws of nature. God can perhaps make use of this indeterminacy at the in the quantum level to get into the world and do things that would not otherwise be possible. Well, I said I'm not very keen on this, and I'm not, both for scientific and theological reasons. And I won't go much into the scientific reasons, but the one problem is that the indeterminacy only arises when human beings start making measurements. And we have been making measurements in the quantum world for less than 100 years. So unless you have a very, very stretched sense of what you mean by measurement, then there's been no indeterminacy in the quantum world until we humans started studying it less than 100 years ago. And God was doing a whole lot of things in the world before then. So I think there are significant problems there. There are also big problems in how you get from anything in the quantum world to the macro world. I mean, I suppose God could fix a two-slit experiment of the kind I've been describing if he wanted to, but how many times he'd have to do that, and over how long a period to produce something dramatic in the macro world like Jesus raising from the dead, it just hardly bears thinking about. It starts to lose credibility. But theologically, I'm not very keen on this either, because it seems to suggest that God can only act in the world by tinkering around in the quantum basement of the world. And that's not really how Christians want to think about God. I think we want to see him as able to act in the world in any way he chooses. I mean, there is a kind of seems to be a self-denial in how much God intervenes in the world. But confining God's action in the world to the quantum basement is not, I think, theologically at all attractive solution to this problem. So I'm not too keen on this indeterminacy as a solution to the problem of divine action. And maybe we're starting with that problem in the wrong place, and I'll perhaps come back and say something about that later. Physicists don't really know what to make of the phenomena I've been describing about the effect of measurement leading to the collapse of the wave function, leading to the slit, to the electron going through just one slit, not both, and that being indeterminate. They don't know what to make of it. And there are several ideas around that have tried to solve this, and I think none have really carried much conviction. And I think the majority view of physicists doesn't really go much beyond restating the phenomenon. It doesn't really try and solve it. But there are some quite interesting radical views that are worth mentioning. And if they were right, they would have quite far-reaching implications. One is a many-worlds view, that there are perhaps an infinite number of worlds in which parallel worlds in which this two-slit experiment is going on, and once you kind of get in there and start measuring things, then you narrow down to just one of these worlds rather than perhaps parallel worlds going on at the same time. But I mentioned the multiverse theory last week when I was talking about cosmology, and it's a pretty drastic solution for science to start postulating an infinite series of worlds that cannot be studied. And it's just, I think from a scientific point of view, very unattractive and a rather desperate manoeuvre. A bit more interesting, I think, from a kind of theological point of view is the idea that consciousness is a key determinant of what's going on in the world. But what's really happening when people start measuring where electrons are going is that human consciousness is getting involved, and it seems as though human consciousness is shaping up and influencing what's happening in the material world. And that suggests that there's a sense in which consciousness is more fundamental, more sort of basically causing things than the material world itself. And that's consistent with this kind of retreat I was talking about from the idea that the world's composed of hard matter. Maybe consciousness is at the root of the universe. It's an attractive idea theologically, but I think it hasn't commanded very wide acceptance in physics. And I think for good reasons. I think it's not just that physicists are mean and not willing to concede this one to us. I think there aren't actually sufficiently good scientific reasons for buying into this consciousness theory. And there's another very interesting approach to the quantum world that comes from a guy called David Bohm, B-O-H-M. And one of the interesting things that Bohm has done is to reject this idea of indeterminacy altogether, and to argue that what seems to be indeterminate actually isn't, actually can't be. And while some theologians have tried to make hay with the indeterminacy of the quantum world, I'm not someone who's sort of keen to go for that solution to things. And actually I think there are theological reasons for going the other way. And Einstein, in his rather broad brush way, understood this. Some of you may know his remark, "God does not play dice." And for Einstein, it just seemed completely improbable that the world he'd been studying as a physicist was one in which things were happening randomly. And if that was the way it seemed to be, then he thought we just didn't really understand yet what was going on. But I think you can say that from a more thoroughgoing theological point of view than Einstein did. God does not play dice. And from everything we know, it seems that the world that God has created is an orderly and lawful one. And I'm not keen theologically on the idea that God has created a world in which things happen completely randomly. So there's some interest, I think, in the idea that the quantum world doesn't have to be indeterminate. And David Bohm's basic idea is that there are hidden variables that can't be detected, no one has detected, but which are shaping up what happens in the quantum world. David Bohm has produced some quite clever mathematics around this idea, and I think everyone in the game who understands it, which is not me, everyone agrees that the mathematics does the job. It predicts the right things scientifically that you need to predict. So it's a clever theory, and it passes the basic scientific criterion of predicting the things that need to be predicted. Physicists don't like it, generally, because it's a bit unprincipled, and he manages to construct mathematics that does the job by sort of knowing the answers before he gets there. And he doesn't sort of derive the mathematics in any way from first principles. It sort of comes from nowhere. It comes from knowing what the answer needs to be. And physicists don't like that. And I think they're right not to like it. But there are some very interesting things about David Bohm's approach to the quantum world, and he's connected it quite a lot with Eastern religion and he himself has a strong interest in Buddhism. And at this point I want to move into some other aspects of the quantum world that have more obvious religious implications. But first of all, I think I'll just pause there and see if there are any questions and comments so far.